forward to a great service tonight. Luke chapter 1, if you will, Luke chapter 1, and look at verse 34 and verse 35 of Luke chapter 1. And each one of us are here today, or we should be here at least, because we desire to learn more about our Lord and more about His Word. You know, something that I have found to be true, and I'm sure you have as well, is that every single time the Word of God is open, the Lord desires to speak to us. And sometimes His speaking to us, to our flesh, does not feel good. Sometimes we are encouraged by the Word of God immediately. And sometimes, well, we have to get over ourselves and then realize what God wants to do and what God's teaching us is what's best for us. And we need to obey His Word. But here in Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35, we read here that Mary is asking a question here. Of course, Mary, the virgin that God chose to send His Son through. And Mary asked this question in verse 34 and 35. And I want us to notice this question as we read through this passage. And in our mind's eye, think of the predicament, if you will, that Mary would have been in at this time. Think of it, if you will, the way that she would have been asking this question. When she had just been told that she was going to conceive a son, and what she was to name him and all of that, and think about the things that are going through her mind. So here in Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35, the Bible says this, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get started with the message here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. And Lord, I thank You for sending Your Son, Lord, to die on the cross for us. I thank You, Lord, for the way that You guide and direct our lives. And Lord, there's many times in which You're doing things, and Lord, we don't know the reason. But Lord, I pray that we would follow You in faith believing. Lord, I pray that each and every time that You tell us something, Lord, that You give us some truth that we need to follow, Lord, I pray that we would be following that wholeheartedly, Lord, without reservations. Lord, help us to be faithful to You as we see Mary was. Lord, I pray that You would be with us today and that each one of us would leave here being closer to You. And Lord, if there's someone here that has never trusted in You as their personal Savior, Lord, that they don't realize that it's so much more than just a baby in a manger. Lord, it led to the cross of Calvary and, praise the Lord, to an empty tomb. Lord, I pray they'd come to know You. Pray that they would get that settled. What a wonderful day it would be to be saved on Christmas Eve. Lord, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for all You're going to do. We ask all these things in the name that's above every name, the name Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we find Mary here, as I mentioned a second ago, asking a question. And as we go through our days, I think all of us would agree that there are some days, well, most days, at which we have some questions. We're wondering why we're going through this, or why this had to happen, why so-and-so had to say that, or why this had to go on at work, or why this had to break at the house, and all of these different things. We ask ourselves many, many questions. And though questions are not always a bad thing, people will say this, well, there's no such thing as a silly question. Well, I don't know how true that is, but questions are not always a bad thing. I mean, I've heard some pretty silly questions, but what we're going to see in this passage this morning is that Mary had a question. And it's a question that every single one of us would have asked. Because in man's eyes, this was not possible. In man's eyes, there's no way that this virgin could bear a son. There's no way that this could come to pass, because in man's eyes, it is impossible. But the Bible says with God, all things are possible. And we could go on and on about why God chose to send his son through a virgin. Of course, we know because it could not come from the seed of man, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect man. There was no sin in him. He lived a perfect life, and he was one that we can look to, and we can say the Lord Jesus Christ, through his power, he lived a perfect life so that he could be the spotless sacrifice for you and I. So we know God had to send his son through a virgin, but still, it still brings a question in Mary's mind. And if we were to just read a biography or even an autobiography of a person like this, and we don't know the rest of the story, if we just read a part of it that says, well, an angel came to me and an angel said that I was going to bear a son, we would think to ourselves, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. But we know the story. Mary was living the story. Mary didn't know it either. She asked the question, how can this be? She was wondering, how is this going to come to pass? This is impossible. When God spoke to Mary, he told her that she was going to have a baby, and Mary didn't know what to think about that. It does not come as a complete shock to someone who is married or has been involved in a physical relationship when they hear that they are with child. Sometimes you may not be totally prepared of it, but the little bit of shock and uncertainty is nothing in comparison to what Mary was facing here. Nothing at all. She knew that she had never been with a man, and this caused her to ask a question. So I want to preach to you a message this morning that I've entitled this, How Can This Be? How can this be? A friend once asked Isidore I. Rabbi, a Nobel Prize winner in science, how he became a scientist. Rabbi replied that every day after school, his mother would talk to him about his school day. She wasn't so much interested in what he had learned that day, but she always inquired, did you ask a good question today? Asking good questions, Rabbi said, made me become a scientist. Think about that. I want you to look over at Isaiah chapter 7, if you will. Isaiah chapter 7. In verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. What we find here in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, and it would be good for you to, if you're in the habit of writing in your Bible, I have written next to mine here the passage that, of course, it corresponds with, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 25, this verse does. Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now notice, this is a prophecy. This is a prophecy in the book of Isaiah of what is going to come many years later. And he says that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah says that God is going to give a sign, and that that sign will be that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. If it would not have been a sign if Mary would have been a young married woman. It wouldn't have been a sign. Why? Because God said it had to be a virgin. You see, when you look at Mary and you look at what she was going through, and you see that she had not been with a man, she wasn't married. No one could say here that this was not the Son of God, because if she had been with a man, they could say, well, that could be just a natural born baby. However, apart from a miracle from the Lord, it would be impossible for her to be with child. But with God, all things are possible. I've used this illustration before, but it's very it is very important to keep our mind on what we believe as far as being biblicists. This is what the Bible says, therefore that's what we are going to follow. There was a conference of world religions, and the ones that stood in opposition to Christianity, they said this: if Christians would give up the teachings of the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no problem for all religions to come together as one. Well, let's think about this for a second. So if you take the two most important events in world history and you do away with them, then everybody can get along. What are they trying to do? They're trying to erase authority of God's word. They're trying to erase that God sent his son because he loves mankind so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They're trying to erase that. Let's all just come together and sing Kumbaya. We're not getting rid of the virgin birth. We're not getting rid of the crucifixion. We're not getting rid of the empty tomb, because those are things that we as believers can hold on to. Can I help us here today? Those are the only things that separate us from false religions, are those things. You see, our enemies know the power behind what we believe, oftentimes more than we know that power. You know, Satan knows that if someone is convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and was crucified on the cross of Calvary and rose 3 days later, if someone's convinced of that, Satan knows that will change their life. He knows it. So what's he going to do? He's going to fight against that truth. He's going to try to erase that. What did he do all the way back in the beginning of Scripture? Satan said this when he was talking to Eve. He said, "Hath God said?" Many people, when you're trying to go through the gospel and you're trying to present them with what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them, many times they'll say something like this: "The Bible doesn't say that." That's why it's good to have the Bible there with you, so you can show them, these are God's words, not my words. But then also they'll say, well, that's too easy, or that could never have happened, and all of those things. And we need to stay faithful and allow the Holy Spirit to convince them, of course, through the working of God's word, that these things really did happen. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He did shed his blood. He did rise from the grave. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. We need to stick to that and realize there is power in that truth. Mary asked God, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You know, this was an impossibility. There's no way that this could happen in man's mind. But something that we need to understand is this: every single thing about the Christian life is supernatural. Everything. The only way that we can live for the Lord is because it's supernatural. It's because of God's power, not in our own power. We can't do it, humanly speaking. We can't live for the Lord. I can't go throughout my day being a good testimony for Christ, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. Therefore, through that supernatural power, we can live for the Lord. I can't have victory over any sin in my life on my own. It doesn't matter how much I try to turn over a new leaf, how I try to live a better life, what self-help books I try to read, and all of those things. No, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only through God's word that we can be victorious. Everything in the Christian life, from our salvation to living the victorious Christian life to having an eternal home in heaven, understand, it is supernatural. It's not in our own power, and it never will be. We need to understand that. There have been many churches that have placed so much emphasis on the worship of Mary that oftentimes we shy away from the truth in her life. She was a great woman in the Bible. This is the woman that God used to bring forth God's son into this world. But it does not mean that she should be worshipped. It doesn't mean that we should bow down before her. Mary had to trust Christ as her Savior just like anybody else does. She'll be worshiping the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven just like anybody else will. Christ died for her sins just like he died for our sins. But many people put more emphasis on the Virgin Mary than they do on the Son of God who shed his blood and died for our sins. Mary was a great mother. She was a woman who was specifically chosen by God himself. This is why the angel went into the region of Galilee there in the little city of Nazareth. Look over at Luke chapter 1 and verse 27, just a page, I believe, to your left there. We'll read verse 26 and verse 27 of Luke chapter 1. I'm not arguing the fact today that Mary was not a great woman that was greatly used by God. I praise the Lord for her faithfulness. I praise the Lord for her willingness to be used by God. But understand, we should not worship the mother of Jesus. No, we should worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. God wanted Joseph and Mary, of course, to be married, but they were not married yet. They were espoused. They were a promise to one another. This would have been like the engagement time. They were espoused to one another. Their espousal, it was not a marriage, but it was a contract to be married that both families would agree to. They know they're going to be married. They're not living together at this point. They are just in the engagement period there. And God sends an angel down to Mary, and he tells her, look at verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Notice the phrase there, the Lord is with thee. Now, we could go on for a very, very long time just preaching on that phrase right there. What a powerful phrase that is. The Lord is with thee. No matter what we go through, no matter what trials we're in, struggles we're in, no matter what comes our way, no matter what God allows to happen in our life, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, those words need to ring over and over and over in your mind, and that is this: the Lord is with thee. Always. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then notice there it says, also blessed art thou among women. Verse 29 and 30, it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So can you see what's going on in Mary's mind right now? Whether she was sitting there at her house or whether she was laying there in bed, whatever it may have been. It says she came, it came to her. And when she saw him, she was troubled. You think? Think about what was happening here. Here she is. And then all of a sudden, here's this angel. And the very thing that scared her to death says this, don't be scared. Yeah, I think I would have been scared too. Amen. It says she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Here on Christmas Eve, we're here to celebrate the birth of Christ. And as we think about our lives, do we know that the Lord is with us? Do we know that? Do we go through our life realizing and believing the truth, God is with me? If you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord is not with you. Oh, he wants to be. He desires a relationship with you. The Lord he is omnipresent, but understand, the Lord is with you that we're talking about. That is him dwelling within you. But if you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ, he's not dwelling in you, but he longs to be. He wants to abide in you forever, but for that to happen, you must repent of your sins. You must accept Christ as your personal Savior. And when you do that, understand, God is with you. And as we yield our lives to him after we're saved and we find a favor with God, understand, he will bless us and he will use us, just as we see him bless and use Mary here because of her obedience. And then also Joseph as well. So notice, first of all this morning, notice the work that God performed. The work that God performed. Notice, Mary asked this question, how shall this be? God the Holy Spirit, of course, would overshadow her. It was a supernatural work. And as we already discussed, the Christian faith is a supernatural faith. God did things and is continuing to do things that cannot be explained in the mind of man. You know, if you talk to someone that has trusted Christ as their Savior and you ask them, why did God see fit to save you? You know what they're going to say? I have no idea. I don't know. I realize that the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we don't understand that kind of love. We don't understand how someone who has literally been spat upon, how someone who gets cursed day in and day out and people turning their backs on him and trying to remove him from everything in society and trying to talk down the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the cross of Calvary, the empty tomb, and all of that. We don't understand why God would love us. Let alone why he would forgive us. We don't understand that. But yet, he does. You see, Mary was willing to be a vessel that God could use. She was not some supernatural woman. She was someone who was willing to be used by God. She was someone that was willing to be obedient. She was a sinner who was saved by grace, who was allowing the supernatural God to work in her and through her. God did all of the work, and he should get all of the glory. And that should be in her life, but also in our life. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's the God that's doing the supernatural work in our lives. It's the same God that did the supernatural work in Mary's life as well. You know, many people, they look at their past and they think to themselves, well, God could never use me. I mean, look what I've done. Look at the things I've been involved in. Look at the way that I've turned my back on God. Look at all the time I spent away from God. And many people will allow Satan put lies in their mind and allow Satan to convince them that they're just no good for God and God would never use them because of what they've done. But can I tell you this here tonight? If you're not saved and you get saved, God's going to use you. If you are saved and you've been away from God, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise in God's word. Notice, all we have to do is confess the sins, and God says, and I will forgive you. And you can follow the Lord. He can work through you. He can still do a supernatural work in your life. All God is looking for is obedience. You know, no one ever came into the world like Jesus Christ did. God created the first man. God created the first woman from the rib of man. They were created by the Lord. And since that time, men have been born through what we call the natural birth from a man and a woman, and a baby is born. That's how every single baby, except for Adam and Eve, every single baby has been born that way until Christ came. Until this baby came that was different than any other baby that had ever came. Not because of how important his parents were, not because of the social status that they had. You know, oftentimes you'll hear, especially like over in England, you will hear when a royal family has a baby. And oh, it's everywhere. It's all over the news. It's no matter what you turn to, there it is. And you can see pictures of this baby and all of those things. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ came, the very Son of God came, and only a few people knew about it. Just some lowly shepherds abiding in the field, and of course the wise men that came. Not many people knew that this baby was born. But yet it's the most important birth that's ever happened in the history of mankind. You see, Christ broke the mold. He was different. In this passage, we see that this woman knew no man. She was a virgin, and God spoke to her, and she answered and said, I don't know how this can be. I am a virgin, but it was God's plan that man should have nothing to do with that. And we should be praising God for the supernatural work that he performed by sending his son into the world to be our Savior. Before Christ ever suffered the humiliation of Calvary, he suffered the humiliation of the incarnation as he was robed in flesh. Think about the very God of heaven being robed in flesh. A supernatural God putting on mortal flesh. All of his glory, all of his kingly garb, if you will. And yet, here he is in human flesh. It was a supernatural work. And the work that God performed in and through Mary was supernatural. No doubt to the human mind, we would have the same question. We would ask, how can this be? What if God called you to do something that you thought was impossible? What if God says, I want you to be a missionary or whatever it may be? You can fill in the blank there. God said, this is what I want you to do. In our minds, the first thing that's going to come to our mind is this: well, I can't do that. And can I help us here this morning? You're absolutely right, because none of us can. Mary knew this was impossible with her. She knew that. But she also knew that this is what God said was going to happen. And she obeyed. You see, if we get to the point where we think that we can do something without Christ, then Christ cannot use us, because we need to be obedient. Yes, there's going to be questions. Yes, there's going to be times in which our mind just doesn't understand how it's going to come to pass. Our mind just doesn't understand what God is doing, but we need to follow him and realize God did a supernatural work with Mary, and God desires to do a supernatural work with us. And notice not only God's supernatural work, notice here Mary's submissiveness. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke 1 verse 38. The Bible says this: and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Something that would do us all some good to understand is this: that God guides us and helps us through every single day. You know why we're back in the house of the Lord this morning? Because of God's grace. You know why we have breath in our lungs this morning? It's because of God's grace. Why are we able to walk into this place today? Because of God's grace. Why are we able to hear the message that is going forth this morning? Because of God's grace. See, everything that we do, we only do it because of the grace and the mercy of God. And we need to understand that God is in control. Therefore, if God is the only reason we can do all of those things that we take for granted, that we think, well, this is just something I do. You know, though some mornings when you wake up and you go to get out of bed, though there's some cracks and some pops and all kinds of things, may sound like a nuclear war going off when you're getting out of bed, you can still get out of bed. We're not just bound there. But we take that for granted many times. We just get up, go throughout our day. We're just breathing oxygen, just seeing the beautiful creation of God, hearing God-honoring music and being able to use our mouth to proclaim the word of God. And many times we take those things for granted, not realizing that it's all a work of God. So if God is able to do those things, I think God's able to do the things that he calls us to do that in our mind we see as impossible. You know, it doesn't matter how much oxygen a doctor tries to put on you. If it's your time to go, God's going to take you. Because doctors can't make you breathe. They can't. It's appointed unto man once to die. So by man's eyes and by man's tactics, a simple breath is impossible. But yet God helps us with that. Therefore, we need to be submissive to whatever God calls us to do. There is no success outside of the will of God. There is no failure inside of the will of God. Understand that. There is no success outside the will of God. But there's no failure inside the will of God. If God has called you to do something, it doesn't matter what mankind says. It doesn't matter if mankind sees you as an utter and complete failure. Understand, if you're following the will of God, you will not fail. Missionaries, years ago, when they would go to a foreign mission field, they would literally pack all their belongings up in a coffin. And they would put those belongings in that coffin on the ship, and they would sail off to be a missionary because they knew they were going there to die there. They knew that's where God called them to go. And they said, I'm going to submit to God's will in my life. But yet, all of us, myself included, we have all of these comfortabilities here in America. We live in a great country. God says, walk across the street and tell your neighbor about me. Oh, I just don't have time today. Understand, if we're not willing to obey God in the little things, God knows we're not going to obey Him in the large things. We need to live a life that's in submission to God. Mary's life was turned in a complete 180 by her submissiveness to God and His will. Even though she had questions, she knew that God's will was best. Have we gotten to that place? Are we living in submission to God and saying, whatever you desire, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. My life is yielded to you. Every one of us, we struggle at one point or another. We deal with things in our lives. We feel as though we are in a fight with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But in reality, our flesh is in a battle with God. Our flesh doesn't want to obey God. Our flesh doesn't want to follow the Word of God. It doesn't even want to read the Word of God. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to do any of those things. Our flesh will not one time tell us to go tell somebody about the Lord. It won't do it. But you better believe it'll fight us every single step we take to go tell somebody about the Lord. You see, being in submission is putting our will and our ideas and what makes sense to us, it's putting those things aside and saying, God, whatever you've called me to do, that's what I'm going to do. That is submission. What if Mary would have just leaned on her own understanding? Well, we would have a little bit of a different story today, wouldn't we? If this angel would have came to Mary and said, Mary, you are going to be with child. It's going to be the Son of God. And if Mary said, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do that. There's no way I can do that. I'm going to go on my own way. She could have said that. And if she was like me, she probably would have said that. But yet, she was submissive. When the Lord speaks to our heart from His Word, we have to decide what we're going to do. And the decision is immediate. It's either obey or disobey. There is a statement I've used before, and Pastor Moore used this statement all the time, and it was, delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. When God says jump, it's our job to jump, period. When God says go, it's our job to go. When God says be still and know that I am God, it's our job to be still. You see, when the Lord speaks to our hearts, we have to decide what we are going to do. We either obey or we disobey. We either submit wholeheartedly or we're living in rebellion to God's word. It's one or the other. If you've heard the gospel preached, you know that everyone is a sinner and you realize that Christ died for your sins. Maybe you've heard this very familiar passage in Romans chapter 10, in verse 9 and 10, where the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Maybe you've heard that passage there. It's plain. and simple. And all it's talking about is realizing that you are a sinner, that Christ came and he died for your sins. And you say, Lord, I know there's no way that I can earn my way to heaven. I know that I'm on my way to hell. But Lord, through your shed blood, you paid for my sins. I confess my sins and I accept you as my personal Savior. Through that belief, understand God will give you a home in heaven. But if you have heard the gospel, you've heard that truth over and over and over again, it doesn't matter what else you're trusting in. If you've never trusted in Christ and Christ alone, you're rebelling against God this morning. Lord, help us. God wants you to be saved. It doesn't matter how religious someone is. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter what Bible you carry under your arm. If you consider yourself to be a good person, none of that matters. You're on your way to hell if you've never trusted Christ. Can I take it a step further as well? It doesn't even matter if you claim to be saved. There's a lot of people who claim to be saved and they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. You know, I could say many times over, and Brother Sean can vouch for this, I could say, I'm a great golfer. It doesn't make it true. Brother Sean can vouch for that. Amen. I'm trying though. Amen. But you know, there's an awful lot of people who, when I've asked them, are you on your way to heaven? They'll say, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? Many times I'll even phrase it like this. So if I was not saved and I wasn't on my way to heaven, how would you tell me how to get there? What would you say? Many times they'll say, well, you be a good person, try to go to church, try to care for others, all those types of things. They claim to be saved, but yet they're lost and on their way to hell because they've never trusted Christ. Many people that way, sitting in pews today, all around this world, they claim to be saved. People may even think that they're saved, but they know deep down in their heart that they've never trusted Christ. And the Holy Spirit has been tugging on their heart and pulling on their heart and bringing them to the knowledge of their need for salvation. And every single time that they reject that, they're in rebellion to God. Every time. What a terrible way to live. God doesn't want you to live that way. If you've never trusted Christ and repented of your sins, understand you are unsaved. You're on your way to hell. You need to be saved today. You need to accept that free gift. Mary was submissive. We must be submissive. Not only when we have all the answers, but can I help us here today? We need to be submissive when all we have is questions. Because submissiveness is not seen only when we have all the answers. It's seen when, even though we have questions, we realize, God, you're in control. God, I don't know how this can be. I don't know what you're trying to do through this. I don't know what's going to become of this situation. I don't even know, Lord, that I'm going to live through this. I don't know, but I know it's what you've called me to do. Therefore, that's what I'm going to do. That's submission. So we see Mary's submissiveness. And then notice, lastly, here is Mary's suffering. Mary's suffering. Look at Luke chapter 2. We talked a little bit about this last week, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We're going to read verse 25 and down through verse 35. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As we look at these verses here, thus far, we've seen that Mary was in Nazareth. But as we travel in this passage, we're in Jerusalem, and she's taking her baby to the temple to be dedicated. And this sword that it's talking about here that we read in verse 35, it says that that sword is going to pierce through her soul. To the soul of Mary. We see this little family. It consists of Joseph, Mary, and this little baby. And they're there at the temple, and it's talking about this pain here. And as we mentioned last week, this pain, as they've got this young baby, as they've got this little one that they're dedicating to the Lord, understand this pain is talking about in 33 years when that little baby is hanging on the cross of Calvary with nails through his hands and his feet and a crown of thorns placed into his head when he's been beat beyond human comprehension. It says that his visage was marred. That means no one could even recognize him. And he went through all of that for us. Mary was willing to stand there with Christ while he was on the cross. Dr. Reimer, discussing this passage, said, Mary's behavior at the cross was psychological evidence of the virgin birth. As Mary looked at Jesus Christ on the cross, she knew in her heart that he was virgin born and that he was the Son of God. She knew in her heart that God had spoken to her and told her how it would be. She was not deceived. And understand, he says this, if this were not the truth, this mother could have never stood there and watched her son die in self-deception. You know, even if this mother here, if she had lied to her son his whole life and just told him that he was a son of God. Now, this is, of course, he did many miracles and all of those things. But if a mother had lied to her son his whole life, and here he was on the cross thinking he was doing a good thing, thinking he was dying for the sins of mankind, I think at that time when it went that far, she would have said, just stop. Your whole life has been a lie. I haven't been truthful with you. I've allowed you to believe things that you should not have believed. But that's not what we see her doing. Rather, we see her standing there, no doubt with tears streaming down her face, thinking back to that time when she was startled there in her home when Gabriel came to her and said that you're highly favored among women. And that God is going to use you to bring his son into the world. But don't be deceived. A sword is going to pierce through your soul. And here she is. Can you see all these thoughts going through her mind as she's standing there with tears, no doubt, running down her face uncontrollably, seeing her son dying there, seeing her Lord dying on the cross? But she was able to do that because she knew this was the Son of God. As she was standing there, no doubt she was thinking about the words of Simeon at the temple, thinking about the sword piercing through her soul. No doubt she felt the pain as she watched her son die, as he was there and he had his arms spread out, and as he was taking his last breath, and he said, "It is finished." It was over. And the sky went dark. And the veil in the temple was rent in twain. Mary was not surprised by any of this stuff. Why? Because even when she had questions, she realized God's will is best. And even if I don't get the answers that I'm looking for, and if I don't get the answers in the time that I'm looking for them, we as human beings, and especially as Americans, we want it now. We can look up something on our phone and have an answer immediately. It may not be the right answer, but it'll be an answer either way. She didn't know how all of these things were going to happen. Oh, she knew her son was going to die, that he was going to be crucified there on the cross of Calvary. She knew certain things, but her human mind couldn't comprehend everything that was going to go on. But yet she followed the Lord. She was submissive, even through the questions. You see, we want to run from reproach many times. We will do whatever we can to avoid it. But remember, she was told that a sword shall pierce through her own soul. When we identify with Christ, understand, we feel that sword as well. When we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, we feel some of that pain. Because if you are following the Lord, can I help you here tonight? You're going against the grain of this world. But we have the scriptures. We have everything that God wants us to know. All He asks for is obedience. You see, our God gives us a special glimpse of Mary in this passage, and she's identified with the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. She was one that was there with Him and following Him. She was learning from Him just like the others. And the ones who refer to her as the great mother of God, understand, many times they are saying that in a way of trying to worship her. She is not to be worshipped. Oh, her life is to be studied, a great woman of God. But just to point us to Christ. You see, many religions call her the mother of God. And what they mean by that is that she was sinless, but that could not be further from the truth. She had to trust Christ by faith, repenting of her sins, accepting Him as her personal Savior. Though she gave birth to the Son of God, she still had to place her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she did that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read there in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, it says, when the 8 days were accomplished of the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then over in chapter 1, notice there in verse 31, the angel speaking to Mary here, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. That's the greatest name to ever be spoken. It's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you've never trusted in Christ today, it's just another name to you. It's just another person. It's just another one that's just passed in history. But can I help you here today? When you place your faith and your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He becomes something different to you. Because you realize that the one that was born in the manger and the one that was hanging on the cross and the one that walked out of that tomb after He rose from the grave, He did all of that for me. He's not your Savior, He's my Savior. He's not the world's Savior to me, He's my Savior to me. Oh, He could save anyone. Anyone can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But to me, He's something different. Why? Because it's personal. Make it personal today. Though there's many things that we don't understand, we don't know why God loves us, but He does. We don't know why He would go through all of that for us, but He did. We don't know why He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, but He is. We don't know why He hears our prayers, but He does. We don't understand those things, but that shouldn't keep us from trusting in Him. You know, I could be wrong here, and if you saw somebody doing this, well, you can correct me after the service, but I didn't see one person when we came in here today inspect the pew before you sat on it. You just trusted it was going to hold you. Why? Because it's there. Well, it's made for sitting on. Of course it's going to hold me. Well, you'd be in for a surprise if it didn't hold you. Amen? We'll place our faith in something as simple as that. But when it comes to our eternity, we'll say, I'll get there my own. I'll do it myself. I'll be a good person. I know what you're saying, but the church told me this, so I'm going to go with that. Unless you change your heart, trust Christ as your personal Savior. With that being your attitude, you'll wake up in hell for all eternity. Apart from your family, apart from your loved ones, and most importantly, apart from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you are saved today, God is going to lead you into humanly impossible circumstances. And in those times when we ask, how can this be? God will remind us that it's only through His power. Let's be praying for the will of God in our lives. And even when it takes us out of our comfort zone, which in my experience it will every single time, we follow Him. We need to answer as Mary did in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38 when it says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary had all these questions, but she said, "God, your will is best." Even when we have questions, let's trust.